The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and the disciples went into Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at Jesus' teaching, for they taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? They command even the unclean spirits, and they obey him?" At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Today's message is pretty crazy, right? I mean, we have Jesus with his disciples teaching, and someone enters their space, and Jesus basically performs an exorcism. Usually everyday occurrences, correct? I mean, can you imagine this kind of story making the news headlines nowadays, and with all seriousness? The possessed man with an unclean spirit asks Jesus, "What have you to do with us?" And Jesus disapproves of the spirit and commands for it to come out. And the spirit's convulsions, loud cries, exit the body. Typical exorcism story. Let me begin with confessing. I have no idea what to do when it comes to demons in the Bible or even in life. And even more so when the demons talk or have names. Although I also find it odd that all the characters of the Gospels who encounter Jesus, the ones who know who he is, are not the religious authorities or even the disciples. They're the demons. And they are afraid. I mention this because it's interesting that when the demon-possessed man met Jesus, his demons were scared. And it was the demons, not the man, who spoke to Jesus, asking, "What have you to do with me?" And the demons moved on, and Jesus celebrated and was celebrated. And the community was changed after this encounter had occurred. He has a commanding manner, a knowledge of these unclean spirits, and Jesus doesn't like them. He is not buying it. This got me thinking. So what in our lives, or better yet, where in our lives have we experienced demons? And I'm not talking about demons flying around the air and large groups of people coming together with someone who specializes in removing demons from one's body. But where in our lives have we experienced a source of evil or harm or distress or ruin? I was 18 years old. I was addicted to cocaine and every other drug that you could name. I was on a roller coaster of destruction, and I did not know how to make that stop. One particular evening, I had overdosed in my own apartment, alone, shaken, and scared. I did not know what to do or who to turn to. And my addiction had taken over my life. My addiction was my demon. It was a summer evening, and I will never remember, never forget. I literally got down on my knees and prayed. Now, who I was praying to, I had no idea. I was kind of more bargaining, making a deal with somebody, but I just didn't know who that somebody was. And let me share with you, I wasn't particularly religious in my life thus far. I was forced to attend Christian education classes as a kid, and I never attended church, outside, of course, being baptized at one point. And we never discussed God or Jesus in our home ever. I did believe in something, something bigger than myself. I just didn't know what that was, and I didn't know how to explain it. So there I am. At 3 a.m. or so, in the darkness surrounding me, and I'm praying or trying to make a deal with somebody. And I'll never forget my prayer. If I wake tomorrow, I will get myself clean. If I'm fortunate enough to wake in the morning and be alive, I will stop. I will get help. I want to live my life. I guess maybe demons having their own names and saying things out loud to Jesus isn't too foreign to me after all. I mean, here I was asking for my own demon to be exorcised. And in fact, I knew the demon's name, addiction. But I didn't think that praying could help it or change it. I didn't know how to change it. I didn't think anyone else could change it. And I surely did not believe someone like God or Jesus or a community could help me. And so there I was, alone. This is what addiction does. This is what demons do. They keep us alone, away from people who could remind us how loved we are. How loved I was, how loved I am, because our demons don't want that. Our demons want nothing to do with love or Jesus or a community. They want to isolate us and tell us we are not worthy of being loved or a child of God. And yet, Jesus ain't buying it, and neither should we. Maybe your demon is anger. Maybe it's addiction. Maybe it's that you don't believe that you're worthy enough. See, the thing is your demons know how to steer clear of love, of Jesus, of community, and of the writings of the gospel, because they're scared of them. But here's the thing, you are good enough. You are worthy enough. See, this text is more about healing than it is about actual exorcism or even praying. Jesus not only casts out demons, he wants us to be part of, to be restored to ourselves, to our love, become a member of, continue to share our experiences, our faith, our goodwill with one another. As he did, as he was celebrated in a community and shared his goodwill. I did overcome my addictions. I did go on to live. It didn't happen overnight. I wasn't exercised that evening at 3 a.m. It took a lot of work, and it took a community. And it took not being alone. Community is part of the healing. And within community comes sharing, creating bonds that tie us to one another. Much like coming out as an LGBTQ person, we find our community. We find we can leave behind the hatred we have for ourselves. We learn to love who our inner person is. Abundant life isn't what everyone is seeking, but is always what God is offering us. And at the end of the day, we ourselves have the authority to choose, to listen, to act, to learn. I am a Christian. I do believe in God. And I do believe that evening, on my knees, that something greater than myself propelled me forward at some point in my life. Is it a miracle? I can't say. Was it an exorcism? I'm not quite sure. Was it all of those years of listening to Christian rock music when I was a teenager that it finally seeped into my soul and helped me realize I was worthy enough and am worthy enough of love, of life, of community? I don't know if demons are something human. I don't know if it's something humans can solve or if faith can resolve it. But I know that addictions, evil, anger, and more is not what Jesus wants for us. Father Garcia, a friend and pastor of a Catholic church and street gang outreach coordinator, told me one day, and I will never forget, your baptism was a radical exorcism. It was the authority given to you to face and tell what keeps us tied down, out of control, alone, in pain, and in the dark to jump off a cliff and never come back again. Thank you very much. You are not welcome here because we have the authority within us. We don't just wander off the path. Just because. We don't find ourselves addicted just because. We all search for that place where healing happens, where we are not judged, where we are accepted and loved for exactly who we are. Friends, at the end of the day, you do have the power and the right to show your demons the door and tell them to take a hike. Amen.